The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Phil Frieder today, because it's Michigan. Phil Frieder will be with us. Hope you had a great weekend. We watched the Final Four, of course. Went for a long, long ride on the bike. Got away from it all. My daughter spoke a Good Friday service at our church, which was cool. It's that moment where there's 500 people, 600 people, whatever it is, and you're just holding your breath because she's going on and on and on for, she's not reading, she's just talking. And it's very, very cool. And you see people wiping their eyes because she's getting deep, and it's like, wow, okay. How is this that I'm related to her? It was awesome. It was really, really cool. So I did that over the weekend, and I've watched quite a bit of baseball. It's so nice to have something to watch where you don't know the end, because the Coyotes have become this this really interesting, fun team to watch. I watched them crush St. Louis on Saturday night. And the Diamondbacks come out, and it's just great to have baseball. And then we have the pro basketball team, where we know the boat sinks at the end every time, even a half hour before the movie starts. It's just a tragedy. But it was good to watch baseball for a lot of the weekend. I did not go to the ballpark this weekend. I will find my time. Let's get you caught up on what is on my mind in the world of sports and what is on the sports docket today, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Guys, you got to protect what matters most, and that means life insurance. That's how you do it. If you were to get wiped out, what would happen? Okay, being straight up, have you checked into life insurance? Go online, get a free quote at Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. That is your family. That is Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Again, Bill Frieder comes up in about 10 minutes. The week, I don't want to make this a whole week of Tiger Woods, but I have to tell you, that even with the championship game tonight, even with the Diamondbacks and Dodgers tonight, I simply cannot get enough of the Masters coming into this week. That's where my attention is. It's not that I don't care about the other things that are going on. It's just give me a more compelling story. I'm going to have some numbers for you later in the show about the impact of Tiger Woods. And you may be one of those that doesn't get it. You're like, I just don't like the guy. He's a bad guy away from the golf course. There's been lots of bad guys in sports through the years. There's been lots of personal failings. It doesn't matter if it's in sports or in life. So I'm willing to sit there and look at somebody who's come back from back surgeries, who had a big personal failing in his personal life, and there he is. I'll give you just one example of one of the areas I want to talk about later in the show. Bridgestone golf balls. Bridgestone golf balls came after Tiger Woods because everybody had fired Tiger Woods. Everybody. Everybody except Nike. They had all said, you're done. We are not going to have you as our endorser anymore. But Bridgestone came back around. And Bridgestone's sales of golf balls, just golf balls, guys, are up 115% with Tiger Woods. If you are one of those that say, he has not made an impact, he does not do anything for me, then you are in the minority. And it's fine. It's fine. But I'm just saying, if you're one of those that doesn't think that he still has his juice, you're just flat wrong. It's fine if you don't like him. But you have to admit, there's no one else out there. Doesn't matter if it's Phil. Doesn't matter if it's Ricky Fowler. Doesn't matter if it's Jordan Spieth. There's no one like this that has come along, ever. TV viewing up 100 and some odd percent over the tournament so far this year that he's in. It's breathed life into a sport that needed it. And what will the long-lasting impact be? Will the long-lasting impact be, yeah, you know what? He's going to grab his back, and that's going to be it, and the tour is just going to sink into oblivion, and every tournament outside of the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Open, is going to be the Greater Milwaukee Open, right? They're right around a lawnmower, and that's it. So as the week goes along, there'll be so much Tiger coming from me. First time at the Masters since 2015. I cannot get enough of this story. And I think I don't think you're going to be sick of it. I want him to be on the leaderboard. I want him to be on the first page on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. And Sunday, when it's commercial free and you just sit there and watch him for the full 6 hours, it's going to be fabulous. But obviously the big story today nationally is the national championship game. We will talk with Bill Frieder in about 8 minutes about that, Villanova and Michigan tonight. I would just say that the games on Saturday, as compelling as the Loyola of Chicago story was, you just felt like they finally cracked and fell apart, and that Michigan, while they weren't very good early, Loyola did what they were supposed to do. Michigan could not get to the basket. Michigan could not make shots. Michigan couldn't do very much right at all outside of one player. That Villanova's so much better than Michigan. I don't see any way that Michigan tonight can control the score of the game. And the side story to this is the Fab Five have never been honored. And there's this rift is pretty deep with Chris Webber in the middle of it saying, I never took money. And Steve Fisher, the coach that was there at the time, was over, just retired from San Diego State, who Bill's close to. So I'm going to talk to Bill about this. So the Fab Five has never been acknowledged. Jalen Rose has a beef with Chris Webber, so on and so forth. And there's a lot around Michigan tonight that if they're able to come away. John Beilein, people talk about great coaches in college basketball, and I never hear John Beilein's name mentioned, ever. And here he is in the championship game with a team that, remember when the narrative was Big Ten tournament is too early and they're not going to be ready to play in March Madness? We'll throw that out the window. Nova looks great. I have people sending me notes, you think Jay Wright could be the coach of the Suns. Why would Jay Wright leave Villanova to come here? On the Suns front, so the franchise record 15th straight loss happened last night. It happened to Golden State. It should be 16 tomorrow night when Sacramento rolls through. I hope Robert's real happy with what he's done here. Those that are the ones that say this is all part of the timeline, are you kidding yourself? And those are going to tell me, look, Marquese Chriss has played really well the last couple weeks. Do you think anybody in his circle has said to him, dude, you have not played well? And so you've got to step your game up because the offseason is coming and there's serious questions about you. He's been the Osmani Tomas of the Suns, in my opinion. He has been. Dragan Bender's played better, but gosh almighty when people say they've got the future right in front of them. When I hear that DeAndre Ayton did Radio Row at the Final Four and said that he and Devin Booker could become Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe in Phoenix. And he wants to play in Phoenix. When I hear this stuff, I know it's simple cheerleading. I know that you have nothing else to talk about when it comes to the Suns. I get it. But please calm yourself down when you hear a 19, 20-year-old say, we want to be the next Shaq and Kobe if he comes here. I get it. May 15th, everything turns. Everything turns. Everybody who's stuck to this timeline nonsense is going to say, see, it all worked out. Me sitting here for the last 2 years saying, please just lose. Last 3 years saying, please just lose. It's all going to turn out. And yet there are those that think that here's what's going to happen. They're going to say with the number 4 pick in the NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns will select. And the Suns are just jinxed. So there's that. The Cardinals today have Bryce Butler over on campus in for a visit. Bryce Butler had 6 touchdowns with the Cowboys last season. What does this mean? It's like Peter King wrote today in his Monday morning quarterback, Josh Rosen is going to meet with the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are going to meet with Josh Rosen. You can bring in players right now. It's evident to me you got to go get a wide receiver. It's evident to me you've got to go draft the quarterback. And so Bryce Butler comes here. Is Bryce Butler an upgrade over John Brown and Jerron Brown? Am I going to hear the Cardinals say again, we've got it all figured out at wide receiver? Rather than just saying we hope, you know, let's not give false hope here. Let's not get too far out in front of ourselves. And the Diamondbacks have the Dodgers tonight. I don't think Greinke pitched that badly, but here's the thing. Zach's making $33 million. I got to get 5 2/3 out of my $33 million pitcher. I get it. It's the first start of the season, which is kind of like extended preseason. Extended preseason, yeah, spring training. But come on. You know, give me more than that. So the Diamondbacks have a big, big early season. This is not the end of the world. You can lose your spot in the division, but off to a good start with taking 2 of 3. Man, the Giants were just putrid. Giants scored, what, 2 runs? They weren't good. And at Yankee Stadium today, the snow fell. And the snow fell and fell and fell. And baseball's got to look at their scheduling and say, you know, maybe we shouldn't start the season so early. Look at this. This is at Yankee Stadium today. Now, they say they're going to play tomorrow and that they're going to have a game tomorrow. But at 4 o'clock tomorrow, they're thinking this will all be cleaned away and it'll just be perfect conditions to go play. This is at Yankee Stadium. This was this morning. Bill Frieder comes up next on the Final Four. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Republic. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, with 16 airings a week. It airs Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and this weekend, Saturday night, following the NBA on ABC, we'll be on ABC 15 with Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ. We'll do an hour-long special, some deep dives into stories on the website. So appreciate our partnerships all across the board as we continue to grow. Bill Frieder is with us now. When I last saw Bill, he was in Las Vegas and at the Pac-12 tournament. It was good to catch up with Coach then. Now, because of Michigan being in the championship game tonight, we figured we got to bring him back. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How you doing, Brad?
It's good to hear your voice, Coach. Good to hear you, Bill. You've got your camp coming up first and foremost, right? You're going to do your camps again this year with the Suns?
Suns basketball camp, yep. And it's a tremendous camp, overnight camp up in Prescott the last week of June. And then 2 weeks before that, our day camps, one in the East Valley at the Higley School District and one out at Thunderbird High School on the north end. And tremendous camp. Suns does a fantastic job, gives them nice gift bags with a lot of stuff in it, and also have the Suns alums and coaches and players come out to the camp. They do a terrific job. And let me just say this.
Yeah.
I'm in a good mood today.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to sign up, the overnight is $495 and the day camp is $350. But if they sign up and put in the promo, Brad, B-R-A-D, for Brad Sussmat, I'm going to give them $75 off, and that's till the 22nd of April.
Till April 22nd. All right.
So you can mention it here at the end, later in the week, in the next couple of weeks, and remind them.
Very good.
And they'll save a little money.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'll put that in. Shoot.
That's great.
That's good. That's over at suns.com, right? Suns.com, where you can sign up.
Yeah, juniorsuns.com.
Juniorsuns.com. All right.
JRsuns.com.
Got it. All right. So, what are your emotions about tonight? Michigan, Nova.
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be a great basketball. You know, I've been gone from Michigan now about 30 years. So, I didn't leave on the best of terms, and the ghost of Shem Beckler has continued to haunt me. I've got away from being rah-rah about Michigan, but I do like John Beilein. I think he's a terrific person. I think he's a great basketball coach, and hats off to him with the job he's done this year.
Bill, there's this deal around Michigan where Steve Fisher has not really been embraced by Michigan. Am I fair to say that? I mean, there's some there that
yes.
have, but he has not been embraced, right?
Right.
And he went to San Diego State, and now he's retired, but he did great things there. The Fab Five, they haven't been acknowledged or embraced, and in fact, they're fractured. Jalen and Chris don't talk, don't get along. What is tonight like a healing night for all this stuff around Michigan?
Well, John Beilein's trying to utilize it that way. He has tried hard to get Fisher back there, and of course, Steve has no intentions of going at this time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bitterness. There's bitterness by Fisher. There's bitterness by the Fab Five. There's a lot of bitterness with me because, you know, when they retired Glenn Rice's number and put him up in the rafters with Cassie Russell and some of those players, they refused to have me back. And there's a lot of that's going on. So there is bitterness. But to Beilein's credit, he he got me back there for a Big Ten reunion, and he's now trying to get Steve back there, and we're gonna see what happens. I'll tell you one thing: unless they put those banners up, Steve will not go. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, what is the rationale behind this? Is this just longtime people that can't get over something?
You know, football is strong. I think football is probably getting real, real nervous right now again. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh being 1-5 against Ohio State and Michigan State, and Beilein having his second team to the national tournament, the Final Four. And football gets extremely nervous when basketball does well at Michigan. At least that's the way it was in the Schembechler era. And so, you know, it's just a unique situation. I know when I was honored for the Hall of Fame in Flint, Michigan, I think that was probably 5 years now, 5 years ago, I found out that Michigan State took a full-page ad in the program. And they highlighted, congratulations to me. They also highlighted one of my players that went to Michigan State, one of my high school players, Terry Furlow. And so I called Michigan to tell them, you know, State took out a full-page ad in this program. I'm hopeful you do the same. And then they didn't. They wouldn't do it. It was a couple $100. They wouldn't do it. So, you know, there's bitterness out there. There's no question.
What about on your end? I mean, Bill, life's short. And, you know, this type of stuff buzzing around, are you good with Michigan or is it still ice?
You know, I love Michigan. I went to, you know, when I came to Arizona State in 1989, I was 47 years old, and half my life was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, either as a student, an assistant coach, or a head coach. And so I, you know, you talk about playing Loyola. Well, I lived it. I saw the game that Michigan beat Loyola in 64 when it was on their way to the Final Four. And so I lived that. I saw it, the 84-80 game. And then the following week, I drove to Kansas City as a student to watch Michigan in the Final Four. So, you know, I lived it. I loved Michigan and so forth. But you know, you get a little bitter, you know, when they don't invite you back for,
right,
you know, for a Hall of Fame deal for Glenn Rice or a Gary Grant day. You just finally say, you know what, maybe Fisher's right. Maybe I don't have to spend a lot of time worrying about Michigan anymore.
No, that's
so. But I'm okay. My wife loves it back there. But And I've been back 2-3 times. And to John Beilein's credit, he's trying to patch it up with everybody.
Bill Frieder is with us for a few minutes as we talk about what's going on with the Final Four tonight. And JuniorSons.com, promo code Brad, stick it on in there, and you can get yourself a discount to the Suns camps, the Junior Suns camps. I want to bounce over to Nova because you look at them, and I'm starting to hear this comparison of this offense by Villanova is right there with UNLV, and I don't see that from the Ogman, Larry Johnson era. I don't see that. Do you see any comparison with the firepower?
Well, Brad, you don't see it in terms of talent. Villanova is not as talented as that Las Vegas team was. But Villanova right now is playing the game about as well as you can play it. Not turning it over, working hard to get open shots and hitting them. A tremendous assist to turnover ratio, playing defense, and their offense efficiency is very, very good. So when you look what Villanova's done the last 3 or 4 years, let's go back 4 years, I mean, they probably got the best percentage record in basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, they won a national championship 2 years ago, and remember that final play against Carolina? That's good coaching, man. That's excellent coaching. And that's the way they're playing right now. So Michigan's going to have to defend that three to have a chance. And Villanova's going to have to work on keeping the big fella, Mo Wagner, off the boards and not giving him those easy second offensive rebound baskets.
Yeah, he's really good. I love watching Wagner play.
He is. I think he's an NBA player, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I see
him
on the
inside. You know, he doesn't have the talent that others have, but But he does work hard, and he's got to learn to shoot better from outside. But I think as dedicated as he is, he'll be hanging around the league a while, I think.
Talking with Bill Frieder, what do you think happens at U of A here in the offseason? They're going to put a statue up for Lute on April 12th out front of the building. All the stuff around Sean Miller. Do you think he makes it, Bill?
They're going to put a statue up of that guy, Lute. I was just with him yesterday.
Yes.
I'm going to have to get my dartboard out. But anyway, you know what? I'm giving Sean the benefit of the doubt until somebody hears that tape.
Okay.
You know, about a year ago, CBS Sports broke a big article, and I forget which guy it was, but one of the main ones, I think, that does the bracketology. But anyway, and they, you know, saying that San Diego State had some big violations. They were going to go on probation, and you know, and then the story died, and you know, we never corrected it, and nothing was wrong. And the same thing with ESPN stands by their reporting against Sean Miller, but until someone hears that tape, we don't even know if there is a tape. So, you know, I give Sean the benefit of the doubt till that happens. But there's been a lot of damage done with the assistant being fired and all the things he was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll take time to recover from that. It's affected their recruiting already. They lost players. Players decommitted. Others didn't come. So that's going to take a little while to come back from that. It always does.
I see you at Suns games. Can you even fathom where they are right now? Last night was the longest losing streak now in the history of the franchise. And they're lining up trying to get Ayton or Bagley. What do you make out of the Suns, Bill?
Well, you know, it's time to make the right decision on the draft pick. And I think, you know, they've made a couple bad ones along the way. But it's going to be hard to miss on it this year if they're the one choice. Because even if they don't pick the right guy, they'll probably still get an excellent player. I'd love to see him get Ayton. I think he's an NBA pro body already. He's over 7 foot. He's got a nice shooting touch. He's going to get better and better. He'll become a great passer in the league. So I'd like him to take Ayton. But, you know, this kid overseas, they tell from Madrid, is he?
Yeah.
He's good, they tell me. 6'6", 7'8", point guard. And I know they'd like to get a point guard, but I think guys like Ayton don't come along much. That's who I would take. Bagley's a great player himself. He's just he needs a little more time to get there.
Could you be a consultant for Robert, Bill?
I'd rather be a consultant in his bank. I can make some real money. I know Chris Robert's been a good friend.
He's
really, really good to me. And I would just wish him the best. And I'd love to see him, you know, make the right decision with the draft. Somebody comes in and really makes an impact. And then also go spend some money and get a free agent. Yeah. And then they would be there already.
Has he ever pulled you aside and said, what do you think?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
All
I think he leaves that to his people that work for him.
All right. All right.
I'm just a little old camp guy.
Get out of here. Yeah, get out of here, little camp guy on my backside. Before you get out of here, what about Bobby Hurley? What do you see over at Arizona State?
I like Bobby. He's been terrific to me. I love his fire. I told him don't change it. A few technicals along the way don't hurt anything. You know, I think, you know, it was hard to describe what happened. I got my own feelings on it. I think they were going great, and then they had one or two or three additions at mid-year, and I think that hurt their team, you know. In fact, a couple of weeks went by, and they started one, and I think it broke up their chemistry a little, and they just weren't the same team as they were before those kids came. But he's got another good recruiting year going. He's got a lot of contacts. He comes from a good pedigree in the Duke program. So I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, it's the most buzz I've had around the program since you were there. And
you know what? You know, there's nobody that worked harder than me to get people in the stands.
Wow.
I went to every dorm. I cooked meals for the students, and I was out there working at it. And I couldn't get the crowds that Bobby got. I did set attendance records, and I even got a bonus one year for certain attendance. But except for UCLA and Arizona, we didn't fill the place up, and he did. So I give him a lot of credit for that. He caused a lot of excitement.
Well, I hope your health is well. I saw you at Vegas, and I heard you had a little tumble right after that. So I hope things are well on that end, and I appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, I broke my arm in two places and had surgery 1 week, I think, after I saw you. And it's coming along fine. I'm doing great. So they're not going to keep me down long, I'll tell you that.
There
so
you
I'm coming
go.
Back fast.
I'll see you out at the camps. Appreciate your time as always, Bill. Thanks.
Hey, Brad, thanks a lot, and good to hear from you, pal. And you're doing well. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Bill. As always, it's good to hear your voice. There's Bill Frieder with us. Always good to catch up with Frieds. One of a kind. I'd rather consult at Roberts Bank. I'm going to throw darts at Lou's statue. There was a lot in there. There was a lot of meat and potatoes with Bill. JuniorSons.com, promo code Brad, and it'll save you $75 on your kids being out at his camp. That's good stuff. On the other side, I'm going to turn our attention to Tiger Woods for a bit on what's coming up. Also, the women's NCAA does not get much attention. I'll be right at the front of the line to say that we talked about it a little bit, not much. Charlie Turner Thorne were in it. I'd be a different story. Get into that on the other side, too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Thanks again to Bill Frieder. And if you missed any part of that, you can check it out on the podcast later today. I'm still cracking up over that. Tiger Woods this weekend. So 2009 is when everything started to fall apart for him. And it fell apart and he crashed and he burned. And now this week, he will be back on the biggest stage. And I don't know if he's going to make the cut. I certainly hope he does. I will be rooting this weekend. I'm not going to be rooting against anybody. I just want to see him make it through the cut, be out there on Saturday, be out there on Sunday, and I want him to be relevant. I don't want him to lead start to finish, although I think it would be terrific to see. I just want him to be there. He's been there the last few weeks, and there's nothing that's been more dramatic than Tiger Woods. There's just nothing that's come close this year. On a national stage, yeah, I know what happened last night with Notre Dame and how they beat Connecticut and the same girl hit the big shot to win the game. I got it. There's no one like this guy. And TaylorMade signed Tiger in January last year. You may not even know that he's representing TaylorMade because TaylorMade said, quote, "We don't need to build a marketing campaign around this star. The mere fact that he plays with the clubs or talks about their performance in interviews does a selling job himself." Yeah, that's where he is. Selling golf balls may not be a big deal in the terms of sport and business side, but 115% uptick for Bridgestone just this year because he's going to be playing that ball. But mainstream companies have not jumped back on the bandwagon as of yet. This is Peter Land, a partner at Finsbury strategic communications firm, suspects a reason could be that Woods likely alienated women when news about his extramarital affairs surfaced. That was in 2009, and I think I can understand that. Companies that might benefit from Mr. Woods' resurgence, this from the New York Times today, are ones that got on board a few years ago, seizing on a buy-low opportunity. We like that. Full Swing Golf, which makes golf simulators, started a relationship with Tiger Woods in 2014 when he was rehabbing from injury. Its CEO thought Mr. Woods could use the simulator to train outdoors. Tiger has been receptive, definitely a strategic move. The relationship has not always been easy. Last May, Tiger Woods was arrested and charged with driving under the influence after being found asleep behind the wheel of his Mercedes-Benz. Toxicology report found several powerful painkillers in his system. It means he still is battling stuff. Am I looking the other way on this? I don't think I am. It's been a year. People can go through rehab and people can change. He's gone through his back surgeries. I've had, I don't know, four knee surgeries. I need a fifth. I actually need a sixth. I need double knee replacement. And I'm in pain a lot of days. I don't take stuff. But I'm not on the pro golf tour like he has been. And so when he's taking stuff, I know people that get addicted to it. When I had my fourth knee surgery, I got on morphine. And morphine was really hard to get off of. It was not fun. I would never do that again. When you have the itches and you have the shakes and all that stuff and you're trying to work, that's not fun. So I am sympathetic to that extent. But I guess it's, here's a guy with 14 major championships. 14 major championships that has gone through some very rough patches in his life. And there's been whispers about Tiger in a number of capacities, but I've never seen that come to fruition. It's kind of like what Bill Frieder said in the last segment. If you don't see the tape, hear the tape, you don't really know for sure. And people can sit around the campfire and whisper, this guy does this, or this guy uses that, or this guy has done this or does that. And we sit there when we look at someone and say, okay, what about the greatness that we're witnessing in their given field? Doesn't mean you just don't turn a blind eye to it. There was some of that back in the 90s with the Androstene Dion era and the steroid era. I get that. But for me, I've just sit here with a clean slate. Maybe it's because I'm older now and I just look at it and say, I want to be entertained on the golf course. I like to be entertained in individual play. It's kind of like watching Michael Phelps go out and do his thing. It's an individual deal. He shows up at the pool. He kicks everybody's ass. And that's the end of the day. I'd like to see that happen again with Tiger Woods because that's what he used to do. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this week and how it plays out. A little bit more on the local stuff after this timeout, especially on the Suns. And I'm going to get into the championship game tonight on the women's side last night and where that falls in my viewing. That's next. Stay with us. A couple other things before we get out of here. And that would be that last night, the women's NCAA championship game. So Eric pointed out to me during the break that SportsCenter just ran the same highlight over and over and over and didn't do like a whole set of highlights like they would do around the men's game because they have these highfalutin meetings that show that, you know, if we just show this shot over and over and over, we can try to stick with the audience. But if we show stuff that happened in the first quarter, the second quarter, Ngugo Wale, I got it. She hits the game winner last night against Mississippi State. She hits it again before that against Connecticut. She goes out in two games in the semifinal and the final. Same girl hits the game-winning shot at the buzzer for her team to win the national championship with Notre Dame last night. I mean, that's – and to knock off Connecticut. That will go down. She will go down as one of the best ever in her sport just because of that, the clutch side of it.
I loved it, Brad, not to interrupt you, sure. But they interviewed one of her teammates last night on SportsCenter after the game, and she's like, yeah, I knew right when the shot left her hand it was going in. I'm just like, she's falling out of bounds, shooting this high-arcing rainbow three-pointer halfway into the Notre Dame bench, and her teammate's like, yeah, we all knew it was going in.
The sideline, right. The sideline play that was drawn up wasn't even for her.
That's correct.
That's what I like
to. It was supposed to go in the post. The post wasn't open, and she kind of just improvised and got that shot off. And it was – I didn't watch a lot of either of the games, but I guess the UConn-Notre Dame Friday night game was really exciting.
Oh, yeah, I watched some of that.
And last night was really good, too. Kobe and his wife were at the Final Four game with UConn. That was pretty cool.
Notre Dame lost four key players, two starters to ACL tears before the tournament.
Did they lose you, too?
Oh, not me.
Well, you've had several ACL tears.
I could be a spokesperson for that stuff. What do you think about tonight? I don't think it's going to be much of a game.
I hope it is. I have a good friend who's from Ann Arbor, who's a big Michigan fan.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's a close game. If Michigan plays great defense, but unfortunately Villanova plays better offense, and I believe it'll probably be a double-digit Nova win, but you never know. It only takes one bad half or one quarter of a bad half, as Loyola Chicago showed the other night.
Yeah,
where
10 minutes.
Yeah, they were playing really well, and all of a sudden, like, the wheels completely fell off and the game got out of hand. And I don't see that happening with Villanova, but that's why they play the game.
Duncan Robinson's story is compelling.
He's a great one.
So here's a guy that was Division III, if you guys weren't aware of this, at Williams College. He played in the championship game. Championship game had 2,600 fans at it. And so this is when he was a freshman. So now here he is. He's playing in this stage. That's why the whole thing around March Madness, which has been a it's been a bad year for college basketball. Let's just call it as we see it. The scandals that have gone on, the agent stuff that's gone on, the accusations that have gone on, Rick Pitino and Louisville and how that program just got annihilated. All that stuff has not been good. Players transferring all over the place, that's become an epidemic. Kids leaving school early for the NBA, not getting drafted, that's not good. If we were just to go right down the list of everything, whether players should be paid or not, I know this, that when CBS signs a deal and they put one broadcast on CBS and they put another broadcast on TNT and they put another broadcast on TBS or True TV, and they've got four networks that are juggling around. The other night, they didn't have the game on CBS. They had on TBS. They had True TV for a Homer channel and then TNT. They're wiping out programming across the board to have three network channels show the game. That's a lot of coin. That's a lot of bank that is coming in. And, you know, guys are seeing their jerseys hanging in the, you know, in the team shop or T-shirts or all that stuff. You know, and you have a good luck charm for Loyola of Chicago, and she's trademarking stuff, and she's able to find a way to make some money. I mean, there's just the angles around this tournament. While it's fun to watch the basketball, the longer that I'm around and I see kids that don't make anything off of it, and the whole idea of, well, they're getting their education, that's just really hard for me to digest now because the dollars have gotten so big. Does it help a guy like DeAndre Ayton to go to college for a year? Well, I don't know. DeAndre Ayton a year ago, if he'd gone into the NBA, he probably would have been the number one or number two overall pick. A year later, has he increased his stock? No, of course he hasn't. Marvin Bagley was able to leave high school early. He should have still been a senior this year in high school. He leaves and goes to Duke. Has he increased his stock? Would he still been the number one or number two overall pick? The answer is yes. A guy like Trae Young, I think you could use as an example. Here's a guard that probably would have been towards the back end of the first round. Now this year, Trae Young gets a chance to play, gets to go to college for 6 months, roll up his sleeves, go work on his game, get some exposure. ESPN puts him out on big billboard campaigns on the air. Watch Trae Young tonight against the Jayhawks. Okay, that benefits Trae Young, but does it benefit the kid financially now? And there should be a way to figure that out, in my humble opinion. So tonight we're going to watch the championship game and also Diamondbacks and Dodgers. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, Eric Sorensen, the great Eric, produces. Thanks to Jordan Hamm and Haley Stasiak for assisting as well. Have yourself a great day.